Good morning, happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is taken from Romans 8, verse 3, and Ephesians 4, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, through the flesh God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. So if you notice in a bulletin, my other daughter was supposed to do the offertory, but she's very ill. She's at home. So we asked Shane to do the reading instead. The most important thing, it has been read. So we thank God. So my message today is, I know some people are wondering thrice, who use that word anymore? You know, no one uses that word much like before. It's an old English word. It means, well, most of you know, it means three times, three different times, or three times. But I like that word. I actually use the word, and my friends laugh at me. I'm like, oh, did you do it thrice? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Well, I just like the word, so I decided to use it in my message called twice or thrice, because there's one person in the Bible who God called three times, and we might not have noticed, but I noticed that when I was preparing for my message, and I decided to share that. Before I go further, I would like to, first of all, ask God to please help me. I tend to talk a lot, so I ask God to help me to not deviate from my topic, to stay focused and to present his word that he has given me to present. As I was preparing my message, sometimes I wonder, what should I talk about? I'm sure it has happened to some of you guys. When you're writing something, it keeps flowing and flowing, and you don't even know when to stop writing. So I asked God to, there was a time I said, okay, this is enough. I don't want to go too much, too long, you know. I just want to stay on topic to get my point across. I would like to share a brief story. When I was growing up in Africa, I was very skinny, very, very tiny, short, very dark. I was way darker than this. And all you could see was white teeth. I have very white teeth. And people used to call me Blackie with white teeth. And I used to be stubborn, tomboyish. All I did was come home from school, didn't study, climb the tree, eat mangoes and almonds, and draw a ring in the sand, and anyone who called me Blackie, we're going to fight that day. That was me, and my mother used to call me my African name, which is Masna, it means woman of God. She would call me once, I would count my fingers, twice, I would count, and then the third time she would call with such emphasis, and I knew there was trouble, and I would come running. But I used to like that, and I noticed that sometimes those of all who have kids, when you call your kids by their first name, sometimes I've noticed that in America, people call their children by the three given names. It'll be like, Jane, Mary, Peter, come here. You know that something's wrong if they mention a middle name and a last name. And my husband, he always calls me Snow, which is short form for my African name. When he says, Snow, Snow, I know something's wrong, and I will come running to see what's the problem. But the point I'm making is, if someone calls your name twice, they are trying to get your attention, because maybe first you didn't hear it. You know, you heard it, you ignore it, or you heard it and it was said, but you didn't hear it. And that's what God did with certain individuals in the Bible. I found out 10 instances God called people name and a city, one city, the rest of people and a city name about 10 times in the Bible. I had to go searching for it. And I will just share quickly three with you, but my message will be based on 7 of them. So the three times was Jesus speaking to and about his Father. He was telling his disciples that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then when he was on Mount Moriah, I believe, or Mount Olive, and he was talking about Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, because he was predicting the destruction. And he said it in a sad way. So those were the three times Jesus actually mentioned his Father and the city. The other seven times were all individuals. I'm going to go chronologically according to Genesis, into the New Testament. So when I was doing my research, I realized that four names were taken from the Old Testament that Jesus called, that God called in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, he called three individuals, and the total names called were seven. And that kind of struck me because seven is the number, I'm sure some of us are aware, if not all of us, seven means completion. And I found that fascinating that seven names were called. Why did he make it 8, 9, or 10? But for some reason, it's seven. I might be dramatizing here, but I tend to go do everything biblically when I'm looking at the Bible. And I realized that seven was the number of total names he called. And I'm beginning with Abraham. We don't have to turn to the chapter. I only read one of the scriptures, but I will just basically paraphrase. Abraham, we know that Abraham lived in a pagan land. I forgot the name of the land. I think Luz or somewhere like that. And God called him to get out, yeah, and go to a land that he did not even know. And he walked by faith. And he left. And he went on his journey. He stopped at different places. And he was only being led as God told him to, because he didn't know where he was going. And on one of the places that he had settled and had his family, God told him to sacrifice the long-awaited son, Isaac. And people, one of my friends argued with me, and she said that why would God want him to sacrifice when he was the same God who's against child sacrifice? I'm like, God didn't really mean it. God was testing Abraham. At least that's what I understood it to be. I said, of course God's not going to do child sacrifice. He won't allow that. That is the reason why he stopped Abraham anyway. It was just testing Abraham's faith. But she didn't see it that way, and I didn't want to argue with her. I only pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten her to see God in a different light. But in Genesis 22, verse 11, Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, and he obeyed. I'm sure he had a little heavy heart, but he obeyed anyway, and he was about to do the sacrifice, and God called from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And I'm trying to imagine the tone of God's voice. I'm sure I sometimes sit there trying to, when I'm reading the Bible, I try to put myself in the time of the biblical days, you know. And he called Abraham, and Abraham stopped right in the act. And he provided a sacrificial lamb for Abraham, as the story goes. And the significance of the calling of Abraham's name twice was that God was going to make a new covenant with him to be the father of many nations. And then further down, Abraham's son grew older and had a son called Jacob. And God called Jacob's name twice. I did not even know that when I was reading the Bible that Jacob was called twice. And in Genesis 46, verse 2, and the reason why his name was called twice, first of all, God changed his name to Israel. But in Genesis 46, he didn't call him Israel, he called him Jacob, even though that name has been done away with. So I was like, why would he call him Jacob when he had changed his name to Israel? But I figure it was because he was giving him a reminder of who he was before, that he was going to meet his long-lost son. As the story went in Genesis 46, his long-lost son, Joseph, who he thought was dead, was now in Egypt, and he has been discovered that he was alive and is second in command in Egypt. And Joseph had asked him to come over, and Jacob went along with, I think, 70 of his, correct me if I'm wrong, I think 70 people in total of his descendants. Is that right, 70? Yeah, 70 of his family members. And whilst on their way to Egypt, they stopped in a town called Beersheba, and he decided to give a sacrifice. And then God revealed himself to him and said, Jacob, Jacob. I bet Jacob, I was thinking to myself, I bet Jacob was like, what? Why are you calling me Jacob? You changed my name to Israel. But anyway, Jacob listened, and God told him that not to be afraid, that I am sending you to Egypt to go and have a reunion with your son, and you guys will go back, come back out of Egypt to Canaan. So I took it to mean that Jacob's name was called twice to remind him that fear is not part of the plan, that don't be afraid, go forward, because the Bible says that God said, don't be afraid, go to Egypt and go and live with your son, and you guys will eventually come out. So that was significant to me, even though I didn't know that his name was called twice in the Bible. I just found that out during my research. And then Moses, by this time, the Israelites were all in Egypt, living their lives and under bondage and working so hard. We all know the story. And then Moses, who was in the palace, we all know he was Pharaoh's grandson or son, whatever, and committed murder. I mean, I don't think he did it deliberately, but accident. And then he ran away for fear of his life. And whilst in Midian, he had married Jethro's daughter, living his life, doing his regular routine work, guiding his sheep, and then God called him. God used a burning bush to get his attention. This is the key. Every time God calls twice, it's to get your attention. Else why would he call it twice? Because maybe once you won't hear it, but the second time you ought to hear it. And God called Moses twice. And Moses was stunned. Because first of all, he was seeing a bush being burned and not being consumed. So he answered God, and God told him what he needed him to do, to go back to Egypt, the Egypt he had ran from, to be a leader to bring the Israelites or to bring the people back to the promised land. And of course, we know the story. Moses tried to run away from the responsibility, but in the end, his brother Aaron helped him. But my point is, Moses was called twice, and the significance is to be a leader. Jacob was called twice to take away fear. Abraham was called twice to make a covenant. So they all have significant meaning. They all have a new beginning. Each of them had a new beginning in life. Come down to Samuel. Samuel was probably, I think, 10 or 11. And we know the story of Samuel, how he was conceived by his mother Hannah, who was barren for a long time. And she prayed fervently. She prayed with unceasing, persistently. And God answered her prayer when she made a promise. That doesn't mean God's not going to answer our prayer if we have to make a promise for God to answer our prayer. She did it willingly. She made a promise to God to give the child back to God if he granted her the child, which God did. God gave her Samuel. You can find the story in 1 Samuel 3:10. So this will be the only story I will read, because this is where God called him three times, actually four times. But I just say three, you will see why I say that. So if you can open your Bible with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning from verse 1, and I will read through verse 10. I only decided to read this of all the others because the manner in which Samuel was called, it kind of fascinated me. It was very interesting. And I read, it says that now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Eli was a priest then. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. We know that the Israelites were idol worshippers. They worshipped everything. I mean, they were just, we know the story. They worshipped like anything, any stone or tree or whatever, child sacrifices. They did some abominations in the temple of God. I mean, the abomination was just massive. So they have driven away from God. God could not talk to them like he did before. So God used to use people, the prophets, and of course, Samuel was one of them, even though he was a child. And so, and the word of God was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." If you notice verse 4, it said the Lord called Samuel. He only said it once, not twice. He called Samuel once in this instance. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lay down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called again, "Samuel." There's not a time but once. It's not like consecutively, it's just once in a row. So Samuel arose and went and said, "Here I am, you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." And by the time Samuel did not know that he did not know the Lord, nor was the word of God yet revealed to him. I guess he was so little, he wouldn't have understood the things of God. He was probably like 10, 11, maybe 12, I'm not sure. But he was just there maybe to help Samuel because his mother has given him as a gift because she had promised God, if you give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you. So she had given him to Eli to help do some chores and stuff like that in the temple. So the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, "Yeah, I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. If you notice, verse 8, it said the Lord called Samuel again the third time. That's why my sermon was entitled Called Twice or Thrice, because Samuel is the only person in the Bible that God called multiple times. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lay down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times. But this time the Lord said it twice. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." And it dawned on me that the reason why the Lord said it twice, because he knew Samuel was, because he knows everything. He knew Samuel was not ready to listen to his message. The first two times Samuel didn't know. So God didn't bother to say anything because he knew that Samuel didn't know. But Eli was there to help Samuel understand. And Samuel knew now what to expect. So he was ready now. He was receptive to listen to what God had to say. So that is why I believe God called him twice, because he has gotten his attention now. And Samuel says, "Speak for your servant hears." And God used this little boy to bring a message to Eli and his sons. From the story, his sons were also priests, but they were doing some evil things in the temple, like fooling around with women and cheating on the sacrifices and amongst other things. And God used Samuel. The significance is God used Samuel to give a warning that would bring massive destruction. And later on in the story, we know what happened to Eli and his sons. So my point in this is the significance of his third calling was to give a warning, and God can use anyone, even a donkey. He used Balaam and the donkey to convey his message. So just because he's 10 or 11 doesn't mean that he's not significant. And he didn't even know God then, and God used him. And the next person is Martha. Martha, I must say that I'm a kind of Martha. My mother always called me like a nickname in Africa. We call a person Mary. Mary means you're always working. It's like a common house girl name, like a house helper name. So they used to call me Mary because I was always on my feet. And I'm still like that today. When as soon as I get home, I'm working. Sometimes when I come from work, my clothes is on me. I will get supper ready. And then when things are steaming and I go and change my clothes, I'm always like on the go, working, working, working. And when I read this story, I felt that I should set my priority in place, you know, and get to be like Mary, who was set at the feet of Jesus, as opposed to Martha, who always have things going. And that can happen to us in the ministry. That happened to one of, do you mind me mentioning it? Norma, she was the leader of the women ministry, so busy. And she said she decided to take a break so she can get her priorities straight. And you know, even though she was, of course, had God first, but she just needed more time for herself and for her devotion with God. And she said she wants to step back a little bit to spend more time, you know, with family and God, because she really did a lot. So we all have a little bit of Martha in here, I'm sure, especially in this part of the world we live. So Martha, we know the story is found in Luke 10, verse 41. Martha was about doing cleaning up for Jesus. First of all, they knew Jesus was going to come to the house, she and Mary and her brother Lazarus. So I don't know why she didn't prepare beforehand. I don't know. Maybe she's a person who procrastinates or something. I don't know. But when Jesus came to visit with his disciples, she was out and about cooking and getting things ready, cleaning, and just fussing about everything. And Mary was there sitting and listening to Jesus. And Martha got angry. And she came. She said, "Jesus, come on. What's going on there? She needs to come and help." And Jesus, I can picture Jesus saying, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you don't know the importance of this." Maybe I'm exaggerating, but I think that's what Jesus must have done, saying, you know, shaking his head and saying a soft voice to her, saying that Mary has the best part. She's listening to me. She's at my feet. Of course, those things are important, but this is more important. And that was the only thing that I cannot relate to, because I'm a kind of Martha. And I'm not sure if Martha changed her ways or if she came and sat down, because the Bible didn't say anything. So we really don't know what happened, but at least Jesus told her what he had to say and a seed was planted. So maybe later on she changed her time. The message in this is for us, our personal devotion time. I tend to wake up at 5 in the morning, sometimes 5:30, to do my personal devotion before my kids get up or before my husband get up. Because when they are up, you know mothers, mommy this, mommy that, mommy I can't find my socks. Mommy, are we having breakfast? Mommy, what is this? Mommy, what is that? And there's no way you can focus on God and be praying and getting distractions. So as mothers or as adults, believer, we have to set a time early in the day or late in the day when people are asleep to spend that time with God instead of doing it with the busyness of life. And I come to find out that this part of the world we live, I'm not condoning America, but in Africa it's different. I guess because we don't have the resources, but this country is a fast-paced country. It's crazy. You get up in the morning, it's a go, 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 go. And you come home, you barely have time to even say God, thank you. People just lay on the bed. I have a lot of friends that tell me that. Down south, it's a little bit different. I don't know why. It's a little slow pace down south, but the East Coast is crazy. So we can't let that get to us. We have to always put our God first, because all the things will leave it behind. I can attest to that. I used to be like that, but thank God for his grace and for reading his word. Simon, his birth name was Simon, but God gave him a name called Peter, which means rock. You can find that story in Luke 22, verse 31. Simon was very reliant on himself. He was, we know Simon. He was ready to act, ready to fight. Thank you. Ready to fight, to do everything just to prove that he loved Christ. And some of us find ourselves doing that like me. When I go to work, I talk and talk and talk about Christianity. I wonder why some people don't know the Bible. No, seriously, I wonder why you go to church and you don't know the Bible. I forget to realize that I didn't know that before 2014. Just because I know it now, I don't expect everybody to know it. Everybody has a time to grow or to be broken and grow and develop. We all have a specific time in our lives where we will come to Christ. It might be spectacular like Paul's, because his was spectacular. He saw the bright light. Or it might be something quiet, just you and God, like mine was very quiet. You know, so I can't just judge all of that just because they are Christian and don't know the Bible. And Simon was like that. He was always like fighting, trying to cut someone's ears off of Jesus, trying to tell Jesus, there's no way you would die. You know, like on fire, all that. And I come to find out what he did. He denied Jesus. So in this story, Jesus had perceived, or he knew what was going to happen. And he was talking to them, and he told Simon, he said, Simon, Satan has you. He wants to crush you like wheat and sift you. He said, you will fall, but you won't be destroyed. That's significant. I wish Jesus could tell me what could happen right now so I can start preparing for it. But we have the word that tells us. He doesn't have to come and tell us literally. So that's the significance in Simon's name being called twice. Simon, Simon. He used his birth name. He didn't even use Peter. He used his birth name, just like Jacob. He used Jacob's birth name to call him, not Israel. He said, Simon, Simon, Luke 22, verse 31. And then he told him how Satan is planning to destroy him and just blow him away. Like, not even Simon, all of them. And that's exactly what happened. But the good news is Simon did not get destroyed. Satan did attack him. He did fall. He denied Jesus three times. And he wept bitterly. He repented. He came to Jesus, and later on when Jesus came back resurrected, and Jesus said, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. That was an assurance that, don't worry, I forgave you, even though he didn't say in so many words. But we know the story that Simon became one of the greatest leaders of the church, of the gospel movement. The last person is our brother Saul. Saul, we all know, was a zealous person of the Jewish faith. In his mind, he thought he was doing the right thing. We sometimes do the same today. We criticize other, well, I'm not saying we here in here, because I don't know anybody's what they do out there. But I've seen other people criticize other churches, the way people dress, the way people talk, move, and do things. And we try to force them to join our faith, you know. And that's what Saul was doing. He was forcing a Christian to denounce Jesus, to stop spreading a false gospel, that the Jewish gospel was being tarnished, and that was not his way. So he was the greatest person. He didn't literally kill them, but he sought them out. And we know the story in Acts chapter 9. He was on his way to Damascus with a written letter from the high priest to go to the synagogue in Damascus to get all the Christians, bring them back in chains so they could be persecuted. And on his way, he got attacked, spiritual attack. Frankly, I sometimes pray for that. It's good. It might be, the consequences will be there, but the end is good. It's very good. We all have to be broken sometimes. And in all times, by the way, all times we have to be broken if we're not living right. So Saul, we know Jesus appeared to him, not a vision. Jesus literally appeared to him. Can you imagine someone who's been killing people, prosecuting people because of this particular person, and this person appeared to you? That's confirmation. What else is there? You know, so he says, Saul, Saul. I can imagine the disappointment in God's voice. Why are you persecuting me? Twice he called his name, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul's like, who are you, Lord? And the story went forward. We know what happened after. What's the significance in there? A new beginning, a new life. Because Saul drastically changed. Just how he was zealous for the Jewish faith, he became even more zealous for the things of Christ, the gospel. Because he had a new beginning. He saw the risen Christ. He did not see a vision. He literally saw Christ. His conversion was spectacular. There was a bright light. I sometimes wonder if the others, they said that the voice was audible, but did it hear a sound, but they didn't hear God's literal speaking? Pardon? No, the others, the soldiers, they didn't hear the voice, but I sometimes wonder, what did they hear? Did they hear just like a thunder roaring or something like that, like Moses at the foot of Mount Sinai, they heard the thunder and roaring? But they knew something was happening, because they saw the bright light and they saw him acting kind of crazy and doing all that thing and covering his eyes and talking to himself. So that was a spectacular moment for Saul. And he changed and became one of the greatest ever evangelists. A friend of mine tried to compare Saul with Billy Graham. I'm like, oh, please, it's not even close. Yeah, this friend of mine, I'm telling you, we argue about every little thing. Everything in the Bible, she's trying to find someone who can do more. I'm like, are you crazy? It's the word of God. You can't do that, you know? But we always argue, and I find myself arguing with her. And then later on, I say, you know what? Whatever, think what you want to think. But she's in my prayer that she will understand that you can't compare, you know, certain things that God did with someone who's doing it and saying that they are better than God. It doesn't work that way. But Saul became the greatest evangelist. We all know that. Now, what can we take from this? We have to ask ourselves this question. Why did God have to call twice? Is he calling me now? Or has he called me twice or thrice? Three times? Am I listening or paying close attention to his voice so as to hear him when he calls? Have you ever heard a calling, that still small voice? Like literally calling your name, I'm very sure someone has. You might not take it to mean anything, but I'm sure someone has. In 2015, I heard my name called twice, my African name called twice. I don't know what I was imagining or what I was dreaming, but that's when I was very rebellious. And my friend, at the time I had a friend who lived with us with four kids. She had some problems, so we were kind of lodging her for a while until she got back on her feet. And I asked her, I said, did you call me? She's like, no. But I was in the things of the world, so I didn't care. I literally heard the name, my name. I think I told you the story, Norma. I literally heard my name. And the third time it happened, he called my name and he gave me Proverbs 14. If you can turn with me to Proverbs 14, clear like daylight. And it scared the daylight out of me. And that was a turning point in my life. People might think that. Some of my friends say, yeah, right, please, why would God call you? But I don't know. I still don't know either. All I know, I heard my name and I heard Masna, Proverbs 14. And I woke up, I'm like, Proverbs 14, where is that coming from? And I went back to bed. And it, again, the voice said, Proverbs 14. Because like I told you earlier, I was very rebellious, very disrespectful, argumentative, talk a lot, always won an argument, very rude, hate to say it. I was something else. And I'm having chills just thinking about it, he said. A wise woman builds a house, but a foolish pulls it down with her hands. That was enough for me. I'm sorry. That was God reaching out to me. And that changed my life. He said, a wise woman builds a house, but a foolish pulls it down for hands. He said, go from the presence of a foolish man. All my friends used to encourage me to do foolishness. And he told me, he said, go from the presence of a foolish man. Man, of course, mankind. He said, the foolish mocks at sin, but among the upright there is favor. We used to make fun of our sin. I mean, it's like he was just talking to me. And he said, their heart knows its bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. All the thing I did out there, when I'm in my bed, I'm crying for help. This is, it's like, it's just talking to me. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to get emotional. He said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. And like I said, my Saul's conversion was spectacular, but mine was just in the moment in my bedroom. And I made a drastic change, and I lost all my friends who used to walk with me in our deeds. And I used to send them Bible verses, try to talk to them. Some of them called me names. They took me off Facebook. They told me to stop sending them Bible verses. I should stop talking to them. I mean, it was so bad. And I asked why, and God gave me new friends. One is Norma. She encouraged me. Ellie, Nora, Joyce, Juliet. I mean, the whole church. I got new friends at job, all new friends. Because my old friends threw me that way. I tried reaching to them. They didn't want to be bothered with me. So I thank God for calling me. It might sound funny to some of you, but he literally called my name. I heard it. My African name he used. So I thank God for that. I just had to share that. I'm sorry for being emotional. Yeah. Because if he not warned me, I would have been going down the road of destruction. This Proverbs 14, if you have time, you can read it at home. It's very powerful. It was God literally warning me. So I take it very seriously. So why can we ask ourselves, am I listening and praying close attention to his voice? So as to hear him when he calls, I was just like little Samuel. I didn't know his voice. I didn't know it was him. I thought it was my friend calling me. And I kept asking, oh, did you call me? When God realized I wasn't listening, that's when he sent me Proverbs 14, and that got my attention. I read Proverbs 14. I had to look around the room. Who's telling me Proverbs 14? Like, it was scary. I ran all the room. But then I came back and read Proverbs 14, and that blew my mind because everything I was doing was right in there. So are you listening to his voice? Are you paying close attention to his voice so as to hear him when he speaks? Or are we busy with the things of the world? Are we listening to music? Whatever we have to do, our work, everything we have out there, what are we doing? Are we listening? That doesn't mean that we can't do what we have to do, but we have to have a receptive ear to listen to the voice of God when he calls. Will he even call me? There must be some bull will be there. He's not going to call me. I'm not worthy. Will he even call me despite the millions of distractions and the busyness of life? Are we like little Samuel? We don't know his voice. We don't even know him. Even though we know him, but we don't know him. because there's a difference between knowing someone and knowing someone, if you know what I mean. You can know of someone, but you don't have that intimate relationship with that person. Are we like Samuel, just in the house of God, doing chores, working in the ministry, even coming in the platform? Doesn't mean anything. You have to have that relationship. Coming up here to speak every time, it means nothing if I don't live right by God. I could pull up a front in front of all of you guys and go out there and do something else. Charles knows some of my weaknesses. I still argue with him. And then my daughter has the nerve to tell me, Mommy, you stay up there preaching and you're talking to me like that. She reminds me all the time. Every time when I get so mad and I say something, she'll be there, really? You always preach out there. How can you tell me this? You always tell me, Pope, you're talking about God, and you're talking to me like this. And I feel so guilty. So thank God she's reminding me to go back to God and say, God, I'm so sorry. So, you know, we are humans. We have to always ask God to help us. We can't do it on our own. We have to ask God to help us. Are we like Samuel? So little and ignorant? Are we, like me, I'm in my mid-40s. Are we in our 40s, but yet like an 11-year-old? We don't understand God, don't know God. Even though we profess to be Christian, we get baptized in a pool of water. Are we like him? Do we have a mentor like Eli who will come and say, oh no, Samuel, oh no, Marian, go back and lay down. If God calls again, just say, here I am, God. Do we have that mentor? I do now. I didn't have anyone before. Now I do. I have a lot of mentors. We can say proudly that because of our sins, we have separated ourselves from God. Notwithstanding, God still talks to us. How? Through his word. He still talks to people literally. I still believe he called me. I sometimes struggle with it. I'm not sure if I was imagining things. I really don't know. But all I know, I heard my name and I heard Proverbs 14. And I obeyed it and it made me change my life today. He might not call you literally, but we have everything in here. The message he gave me was right in there, Proverbs 14, that I read so many times and just flipped through the pages. Now I hold it dear to my heart. Are you listening? Is he calling you today? When you are doing your devotion, just like some of you already do, close your eyes and listen to the voice of God. God calls us more than once to get our attention, and then he shares his will. God is seeking our attention to communicate to us significant messages. The common goal we all have, the common denominator, God is calling us to a new life of new beginning with him. Amen. Thank you. Lord, you are calling us, Father God. You are calling us to come home to you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Please, Lord, help us to circumcise our ears, our hearts, yes, so that we can be receptive to your calling, to your voice, Lord, whether literally or from your word. Mm-hmm. Help us, Father God, to always listen, to always be careful, Father God, when we are doing our personal devotion, wherever we are, even at work. Help us, Lord, to listen to your voice, to come home to you, Father God, that we can live in daily righteousness until your second coming. Mm. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for using me to bring this message and sharing my testimony. I ask you, Father God, to please help me every day to grow, Lord. We are all humans living in the flesh. We struggle, we fall, and get up, but let us not give up, that we can persist and continue the journey, Father God. Take us home safely, Lord. We are leaving now, but we remain in your presence. Let us go home to continue to celebrate and glorify you and worship you and praise you, Lord. Not just today, but every day of our lives. Yes. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.